Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana. I win.
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Now you're going to hear one name a lot. There's a shot that goes in for the Nashville right from the blue line. Well, Ryan Ellis, and he can hammer that puck from the line, and he ties it up at 12:08. Arvidsson was in front. Now the Predators back at full strength. No shots on the power play in this period, and a quick pass in for Forsberg. He scores! Philip Forsberg got one that was slowed up somewhat, and the Predators have tied it up after they got back to even strength. Puck rolled around into the Colorado zone. Arvidsson flips it back. Josi at the right point. Return to Arvidsson. Johansson, right wing corner. Here is Josi with the shot. That stopped. Rebound trying to flip that one in. Is Matt Duchene, and he does it. Predators take the lead on the power play at 4:55 of the period. Kamenev, the puck taken away. Grimaldi. Predators coming back. 3-on-3. Grimaldi turns, gives the puck to Bonino, and out in front for Craig Smith of the score. So the Predators get one back here in the third period, and now trail by 4. Each side got a goal in the third. The trouble for Nashville was the 6 the Avs had in the second as they win the game 9-4.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you. Pete Weber, the call last night here on ESPN 102.5, the game and the Predators Radio Network, as the Avalanche defeat the Predators 9-4. That is correct. I am saying it with 100% conviction. It actually was 9-4. Colorado put up a 6 spot in the second.
That's not the series total goal scoring in all the games for the year.
That's correct.
That was a game.
Pecorino yanked. Avalanche snap a 5-game skid. And maybe the stat of the night that will just blow your lid away. The Avalanche scored more goals last night than the Tennessee Titans scored points in 3 separate games this year.
I'm going to tell you, like Smokey told Craig when he got knocked out. You got your asinine knocked out.
Yep. You got knocked up.
They got knocked out last night. I mean, but listen, it's a long season, and you have games like that, and where, you know, that team's just better than you that night. And, you take it for what it's worth, and you put it behind you, and you move forward. That's the good thing about when you play 82 games. You can take one game like that and push it behind you very quickly and move on. 9-4. When the last time the Predators gave up that many goals? I wonder when the last time they gave up that many goals, because that's the equivalent of getting beat like 40, like on a Thursday night football, 40, 42
go higher.
52?
60, 62.
60? Oh,
9 goals in hockey is like 60 points in
62
football.
62 to 21.
9 goals is...
That's basically what it was, 62 to 21.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah.
9 goals.
Man.
Like my mind doesn't understand it. And it's... I mean, you're right. Here's what you do with it.
Yeah, that's what you do. Like, Predator fans last night were freaking out on Twitter. And, like, I actually had to tweet this. I said, I love how Preds fans freak out over not getting a consistent effort. It's an 82-game season. It's impossible to skate hard for all 82 and go balls to the wall. Have you ever watched an NBA game and seen a good team mail it in and lose by 24? It happens.
You see it all the time in the NBA where a team, even the best teams, they end up losing by 30 or 40 points. And it's like, okay, you know, this is not college football. This is not the NBA where you come out and you can get me in the NFL where you expect, because the seasons are so short, you come out and you got a week to prepare. You come out and give 100% every week. And if you don't, you know, that's inexcusable. In hockey, base, meaning hockey, baseball, and basketball, it's hard to do that, man. You know, 82 games on the ice, I got to give it 100%. No, I'm not. I got to preserve my body. I'm going to pull the old Kawhi Leonard. You know, body load management.
I'm all about load management.
Load management. I got to, these games that are back to back in 2 and 3 days and 5 and whatever, how many days? Load management. I can't keep doing this. I can try to skate hard. Here's the thing. My mind's telling me no. No.
But my body.
No. It truly is like that. Your mind is telling you yes, not no. But your mind is telling you yes, you can do it. But your body is saying sit your ass down, okay? Sit your ass down. That's what your body's saying, basically.
I mean, it's...
Because you can't push yourself for 82 games like that.
And the Predators are going to have one of those games this year where they go in and just boat race somebody 7-2 or 8-4. It happens. It's called variance. It's an 82-game schedule. Now, if this happens the next game again, if this happens 3 times out of 4, if this happens 5 times in a season, okay. But to me, it's nothing more than just an outlier in an 82-game stretch.
Even if it happens 3 times. This year,
no.
I'm not.
If you give up 9 goals 3 times in a calendar in a season,
but you're still
there, that might be a trend that I'm concerned.
No,
with.
But you're still
one's fine.
You're still one of the top teams in the National Hockey League.
Are you though?
And you, if you get okay, they play what 15 games 15 somewhere around.
Yesterday
there?
Was game 16.
16.
Yep.
So they gave up 9. So say in another 20 games, 25 games, they give up 9 goals again, and then at the end of the season, when they got everything locked up, they give up 9 goals. Who cares? Seriously, who cares? They gave up 9 goals, 27 goals total in 3 games.
That's you so know, many goals.
Yeah. Hey, when you think about
I'm
it like
sorry.
That, yeah.
Like you said, you're like, oh, it's no big deal, 27 goals.
When you think about it like that,
we gave up 200 points in 3 games. Not that big a
when
deal.
When you think about it like that, that might be a lot.
No, listen.
Okay, if you give up maybe 20
look,
goals,
look,
yeah.
If you play the worst period of hockey in the history of your organization, and again, I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday, I think Paul Skrbina, I think, posted this a couple hours ago, and it was a banner. A Preds banner that said allows 6 goals in 8 minutes, and it had that written on the banner. So maybe you'll hang this, Preds, and they were, you know, people were making fun of them for hanging the banners, which is stupid. Nobody should be doing that. But again, you have a sense of humor about it. You got to laugh about it. It's the worst period of hockey I've ever seen. Like probably ever at any point in 20 years of watching the team, it might be the worst period of hockey I've ever seen.
Yeah, Vingan said the same thing.
And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. It's just the worst. If you give me 2 more of those this season, I got major questions. It happens. You give up a 6 spot or a 7 spot or whatever. These things happen. 9's a little much, but you give up but 27 goals in 3 games is not acceptable.
But that's like
there's a bigger problem.
That's like New England Patriots getting boat raced twice in a season. Who cares? You know, because the people in New England just look and say, you know what? Where are we at the end of the season? We're in the Super Bowl, so it really doesn't matter. They'll point to the rings. Well, Predators can't point to the rings. So, but you see what I'm saying? They can point to we are still the best team in hockey right now.
There was a stretch. Adam Vingan tweeted this last night. 3 goals for the Avalanche in a quick 91 seconds. Before that, though, the Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, Duchesne, Josi power play unit scored its 8th power play goal in 16 games. So immediately, the tweets start coming into me. My mentions blow up. There's gifts galore. We're getting ready. Like, tattoo watch has become an official thing.
God, thank
Every
God.
Time they score a power play goal,
yes.
My mentions just erupt.
Yes, I love it.
And Chris, how about this? One of our most devoted listeners, Gregory Anderson, sends a tweet, and it's me holding Dan Lambert from behind on the ship of the Titanic.
Yeah, I saw that last
as
night.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Dear, I love it. I love it, man.
Look at this photo. Look at the Photoshop.
Wherever you are.
Me and L Dog. 1912 before the boat goes under.
Oh my goodness.
Did you guys make out an old
it.
Model T?
I
yes. Windows got foggy. It was, you know.
A spicy afternoon.
But you end up dying at the end, man. What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brad survives and the power play is fine.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's
yeah,
all that matters.
You got
exactly.
It, you got it, yeah.
All right, so if Predators fans want to check in after last night's debacle and lose their mind, they can certainly do so. 615-737-1025. Like, I can't even get mad because it's an, yeah. like, years ago I said I will not view hockey, baseball, and basketball the way I do football. You can't have a football fan mindset for these longevity of a sport.
No, and it can be hard, right? Like, it can be hard to do that because you see something like something that's as atrocious as last night or a great game or a great comeback and you want to – you see a game and you go, oh, there it is. There it is. That's what it is. That's the best stuff or that's the terrible stuff. And you see it and you go, okay. But you can't. You got to look at it in like 10, 12, 15-game windows. If they go on a stretch here where they're giving up a bunch of goals and they're not playing good defense – Can I help you?
Yeah.
when we're going, if you go on a stretch like this, then there's reason to be concerned. If it's just a one game off, then who cares?
Yeah. Well, an example of that for like an NBA perspective, everybody panicked when the Lakers lost that first game to the Clippers. They've won six straight since then.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, this Lakers team, they're not as good as the Clippers. They're not going to be as good as the Clippers. It's like an 82-game season, and they've won six straight ever since. So. It's a long season.
Yeah, it's like when the Memphis Grizzlies win and they think the Memphis is going to the NBA championship game.
Hey, don't talk about my Grizz that way.
I'm sorry. I forget you were sitting right over there.
Don't talk about my Grizz, man. Lifelong diehard. Or John Morant, baby.
Or in a football season when we overreact in week one when the Tennessee Titans put up a 40 spot on the Browns and we say, whoa.
But we were right about one thing. The Browns are not good.
I will say, though, even about football, you can even make the argument that you shouldn't overreact to football, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you can even make the argument that – like, look at what Phillip Rivers did last night, right? He looked like a total bum. We all know Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, and it's an important lesson that, like, even great players are going to have bad games. Even in football, when we have to overreact to everything, Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and could not throw a forward pass last night. Nope. So, even, you know, whether it's Marcus or Ryan Tannehill or Matthew Stafford or Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater, when we're, you know, any of these quarterbacks that are going to play on Saturday this weekend – in big games, Burrow and Tua, Trevor Lawrence, whatever. Like, they're going to have bad games. Even the best ones on the planet have bad games. Aaron Rodgers just got totally shut down by the Chargers last week, and now the Chargers can't complete a forward pass. So it's just the nature of the NFL. You don't really – again, you even the NFL, you need 3, 4, 5 games to truly understand what a team really is, and that's where we are in the season. We're starting to see who these teams really are.
Speaking of the Chargers, the Raiders beat them last night on Thursday Night Football 26-24, and I said this last night on Twitter. I think America might owe John Gruden an apology. He was a punching bag. We made fun of him last year for the Raiders being a debacle. Oh, how could you trade Khalil Mack? You're an idiot. The whole thing. They're 5-4, and they look like a relatively solid football team.
They're a good football team. They're young. In just about every area, I'm still trying to figure out what made him. What did he take before he went to bed and woke up the next morning and decided he didn't want Khalil Mack anymore? Or,
well, you know what he's got now. He's got Josh Jacobs, who's a beast. Cleveland Furl last night had multiple sacks,
but they're not Khalil Mack.
I get that, but those picks look pretty good
right
now.
Amari Cooper.
Well, and one of them's not even playing. Like Abrams kid's not even playing.
Yeah,
he's going to be a really good player. So imagine what this team was if they had all three of their first round picks from last year.
So the Raiders.
I'm still not buying them as a wild card team.
Let me pump the brakes on the Raiders. Yeah. Just slow roll.
I think they look definitively better than the Titans, who they play in a couple of weeks.
The Raiders are like that car where it breaks down on you, and the only way for you to get it going is you got to try to crank it up, and then when you push it, it'll start rolling.
You need it moving down the hill.
Yeah, it'll start rolling, and then it'll start going, and everybody got to jump in. That's the Raiders. Okay. And so they started rolling, everybody jump in, and it's just a matter of time for the car clunks out on them at the red light.
Not Derek Carr.
No, not Derek Carr.
Who, by the way, his rating's above 100 this year.
He's playing pretty well. Okay, you know, I guess I'll tell a story on the other side.
Oh, a D-May story? Can't wait.
Yeah, I felt, man, it hit me yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, hard. A car?
Well, you got to lay off those spicy Doritos, bro. I mean, don't.
No, I stopped eating those. Yeah, I'm trying to live a long time. Yeah. But yeah, something hit me. Just hit me yesterday, man.
We got a lot to do today. We've got Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Teron Davenport's going to join us. Also, Peter Burns from the SEC Network will join us. We'll get you ready for Bama, LSU, Tennessee, Kentucky, the Titans, and the Chiefs. Your Preds calls if you want to jump in, 615-737-1025. We're back after this here on Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. 6:18, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace Marquise with you. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville at the bottom of the hour, but something just hit Derek Mason. Literally hit him right in his face.
Yeah, this was yesterday. Yeah, I'm fine. Well, I'm fine now. I had a moment last night. each year we switch vacations. Marcy and I, one year we take the kids. Well, I take the kids on spring break, and she take them on summer break, and then we flip per our agreement. So this year I have spring break. So I am a real procrastinator when it comes to vacations. I wait to the very end and end up paying like 10% more.
That doesn't sound smart.
It doesn't. No, I'm just a procrastinator when it comes to that. And the kids tell me all day, they remind me, Dad, you got vacation this year.
Hey, you got us plane tickets yet or
what?
You
got vacation this year. And I'm always like, yeah, I got it. So I have spring break this year. So Bailey and I, we've been going back and forth. She got mad at me the other day, and I felt like, oh. When your daughter gets mad, y'all understand. When your daughter
adult,
gets mad.
Adult daughter.
Yeah, when your daughter gets mad at you, the whole world stops. It just stops. It's like you can't. You're
is
not
it
a
that, is it so that bad?
Yeah, it's that bad. You're not a parent anymore. You are not a parent anymore. When your daughter gets upset with you, you're not a
you're
parent
just a
anymore.
Ball of goo.
You're done.
So she gave you the business.
Yeah, she gave me the business.
Well, she was mad about the vacation thing?
About the vacation thing because she was like, Dad, I told you I will pick out three places and you pick out three places and we will discuss it in two or three days.
Does DJ have anything to say, Dad?
I didn't have anything to say back when she texted that to me.
Does DJ have anything to say about this process?
No, he doesn't.
It's just
care.
You and Bailey.
Yeah, we say this is where we're going. He's like, okay, all whatever. Right. So last night.
Do they have internet access?
Yeah, exactly. Last night, we had set up this phone call to kind of go over the three places that I decided and the three places that she decided. You know, she had like 10 places. And I had three. So we're sitting there. We get on the phone. I'm thinking this is going to be like a 45-minute call. You know, we're going to go over everything, yada, yada, yada.
The pros and the cons.
Yeah, everything.
So this was a conference call.
Yeah, it's a conference call.
Was there any consultants there?
She was a consultant.
Yeah. Okay.
Alone. So I'm thinking it's going to be 45 minutes. It turned out to be really 10 minutes. And this is why it turned out to be 10 minutes. So I gave my three places. And one place we decided we couldn't go because of some things that are happening in Mexico, some things that are happening over there. It was like, kind of don't want to go. There are some other places. So
you mean guys in bulletproof trucks killing families on
absolutely.
The highway?
Yeah. Don't want to do that. No, not at all.
Did you see that story, Marquise?
Yes, sir.
Dude showed up at the border in an armored truck
after killing a whole family
on a highway.
They end up catching them, which is
right, good.
Yeah. So we're going over some list and I'm like, okay, that's good. Yeah. So she says, Dad, you know, my friends and I, we were thinking, you know, cause they travel and, you know, we all want to travel together and, you know, we're deciding that, you know, we want to, I think she said, I don't forget what she said, Paris or something. They all wanted to go too. So I'm going to get together with my friends and we're all going to orchestrate this thing. We're all going to get this. Do you mind that if I go with them and, you know, the portion you're going to pay for me, you can just pay and I can go with them. And she was going up and I'm just thinking, I wanted to cry, man. She's like, you're not mad, are you? And I'm thinking like, no, I'm not mad. I had to play it off. I really had to play it off. Seriously, I really wanted to cry. I really wanted to cry.
I've never been scared of being a father. Yeah, now I'm terrified.
She is at that age where she doesn't want to go. She would rather
with
go
you.
With a friend. Yeah. So her brother and I would be gone by ourselves.
I think it's interesting that it took her this long. I would say a lot of kids probably get to like 18 and are like, I don't want to be around you guys anymore. She'd be thankful, I guess, you got a couple extra
20,
years.
Yeah, it was just like.
Or you could just say, pay your own way.
No, I can't say. I can as a parent.
I'll pay for wherever you want to go, but I'm going to be there with you.
I can as a parent, yes, but you're not going to win in those situations. You're just not.
Just deactivate that American Express card.
Yeah.
I can't do
Turn
that either.
Shut it down.
She'll figure out how to survive quickly.
She's already threatened that. She said, I get the card anyway, so it doesn't matter, Dad.
She's ruthless. Let me ask you this.
Bad.
Did she let you go through your full explanation of your three first?
Yes.
Why would she do that to you?
I don't know. It's
just
torture.
Start the conversation with, Dad, don't worry about your three. Yeah. I know I texted you that yesterday, but don't worry about your three because they're not really on the table because you're not coming.
Yeah.
Just say that on the front end and save Derek the trouble, Bailey.
Yeah.
Come on.
It hit me hard like a thing. But then this was like, I guess she wanted to make me feel somewhat good. She said, "Dad, just plan it because we might not go."
Oh my God.
"But Dad, just plan it as if I am going."
That's the most millennial thing ever. Like, "Hey, can you plan three vacations so that in case I don't, if my first two options fall through, that I can have a third vacation
on the books?"
So I'm
the backup plan.
Yes, you're the backup.
Okay. All right. There we go.
I can see a rebound. I can see sad D-Mace right now wearing a robe, big full bag of Doritos, Shiny playing in the background.
In Cabo. Well, he's by himself in Cabo just walking around going,
my
like,
goodness,
where's my family?
Nah, well, what's the real sad SpongeBob gift you always use? All right, I'm going to head out on Twitter.
Yeah.
that's D-Base.
Man, yeah. So y'all will feel it. Y'all, you will feel it double time.
I'll be dead before then.
I'll feel it. The two daughters, with it, they're both going to want their
exactly.
vacation too.
Absolutely.
At the same time. So I'm she's 21, right? 22? 21?
20.
20?
Yep.
If I make it to 20 before my daughter says to me, "Hey, I don't want you to come on the vacation," I think I'll take that as a win. Like, I think I would say, you know what? If I got like 10 good spring breaks out of this as a father, as a family getting to go do stuff, like, I think I'll be satisfied with that. Because once they get to 2021, you got to let them do their own thing at some point, right?
Yeah.
So, pretty much.
Fly, little bird. Fly.
Fly, little pelican. I'm a pelican. Let me fly.
Flap those wings.
Josh Ward will join us
windows.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to a lot of Tennessee, Kentucky with him, obviously. But if Kentucky, I was thinking about this yesterday. If Kentucky essentially has no quarterback and wins this game against Tennessee, is that going to be a bad loss for Jeremy Pruitt? Because I've said all week that I think this is a really tough spot for Tennessee, despite the issues Kentucky might have at quarterback.
I don't know. I mean, listen, if it's a pick'em and it's on the road, I don't think it's a quote-unquote bad loss. Now, if they get beat the way Missouri got beat against Kentucky, 29-7, and you go on the road and they don't have their quarterback. And now, because Lynn Bowden is a really great player. He's a great player. He can run the ball a ton. He's a great receiver. He's a dynamic guy. He has, you know, he's clearly been good for them at that position as an emergency stopgap. So he's a really great player. So there's no shame in him beating you, but he's totally one-dimensional. And so it's how you lose. If you lose a close game because, you know, they're running the football well and they make a kick or something and it's, you know, whatever, 21-20 and you lose the game on the road in a pick 'em, it's not a quote-unquote bad loss. It's every loss it hurts your team, especially when you're fighting for bowl eligibility. But if you lose 29-7 the way Missouri did on the road to Kentucky, then I think you've got a much bigger question about Jeremy Pruitt and the defensive staff.
You're essentially playing against Tommy Frazier. That's what you're playing against. It worked, you know, in the 80s and the early 90s, and that was the sort of college quarterback. So if you get beat like a quarterback like that, no one says anything because that is the way, you know, college football was played in a box. You can't get beat by a guy like that nowadays, a guy that you know has limitations throwing the football. He's dynamic running it, but he has limitations throwing the football. And if you can't stop that team knowing that they are basically one-dimensional, then, I think that is a bad loss. Even if you lose by 7 points, I think it's still a bad loss, considering what you've kind of built up until this game.
And the stakes are off the charts. I mean, this is a huge game for both coaches. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that a little bit after Josh Ward. But 2011, of course, is the memory, not to bring too many bad memories up for Tennessee fans, but 2011 was the 10-7 game. You lost. You had won 26 straight against Kentucky, so the streak was intact. You lose to Kentucky 10-7 with their third-string wide receiver quarterback, Matt Rourke, who ran the ball 24 times for 124 yards. He was 4 of 6 passing for 15 yards. If you're telling me right now that the Kentucky quarterback this weekend is going to be 4 of 6 passing for 15 yards,
you better win.
I don't think there's an excuse for Tennessee to lose the game.
No, you're right.
At that point. So he didn't turn the ball over. He led the team on a big drive in the fourth quarter. So there is a lot of history, not a lot, but this particular moment, right, on the road in Lexington against a third string wide receiver quarterback,
right,
that is there's some demons there for Tennessee fans. Now, the players don't care about that stuff. They don't know anything about that. But I guarantee you that Mark Stoops has told people about that. I guarantee you he's brought that game up to his team and to his players because he's like, look, we did it before. We can do it again. We did it to Missouri last week. We can do it again. So this is a sort of culture-defining, program-defining game. If Stoops has really built a program that can sustain with all the injuries and all the losses in the offseason and they still beat Tennessee and they still are above 500 right now, I think you have a lot of positive things to say about Stoops, and conversely, some questions for Pruitt, and vice versa.
Predators fans, be listening in the 7 o'clock hour for your chance to qualify for the Winter Celebration or the Winter Classic Celebration giveaway. The cue to call coming up at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Josh Ward joins us next here on Morning Drive. 6:31, and back in here live on a Friday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you. We'll get to the big one in the SEC coming up in just about 30 minutes, Bama LSU. But right now, talking Vols and Kentucky, a pivotal one in the East tomorrow in Lexington. And we welcome in Josh Ward right now from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, happy Friday. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you guys this morning.
Just in general, what have you seen over Tennessee over the last 3 to 4 weeks that's making you feel like they're rounding into form and they kind of look like a competent football team?
Well, I think they have more players they've been able to rely on defense, guys who have been able to make plays up front, which has made a difference, starting with Darrell Taylor, who didn't play particularly well early in the season, at least compared to what Tennessee was expecting out of him, and Darrell expected out of himself. And then other guys like Danny Batuli made a big difference after missing the start of the season, got healthier. And then line of scrimmage play certainly improved on both sides. Now, I thought the offensive line took a step back last week, and that's something that is going to be worth watching this week against Kentucky. But better line of scrimmage play, I think better quarterback play, not elite, but it was better in October than it was in September. That helped with Tennessee. And then I think players just have a better understanding of what they're supposed to do before the ball is snapped and then after, and that showed against opponents. They've also kind of taken advantage, I think, of some good spots. You got Mississippi State at a good time, South Carolina probably as well, but credit to Tennessee for taking advantage.
Hey, Josh, let's talk about that quarterback situation, because all three of them have been cleared. Do you expect to see more than one guy, and is Shrout the guy that you just don't expect to see at all this weekend?
Yeah, I would go that way, and I've joked that Vegas has to, they have to up the prop bet to 3, 3.5, because it seems like 3 is almost a lock at this point, if you factor Juwan Jennings in as well. And my guess would be that we see both Brian Maurer and Jarrett Garantano. And Jarrett, he has not been the starter the last few weeks, but he has been the guy the last couple of games at least, just in a relief role. And it's probably that way as well. His reps in practice have been limited again this week. He didn't take many at all last week before the UAB game, but he played almost all of the game, at least the important snaps at quarterback for Tennessee after Shrout started. So Brian Maurer, I think, is in a position where Tennessee is more comfortable playing him. I think that happens on Saturday, and let's see how he plays. Let's see if he can make it all the way through, and let's see what role Jarrett Garantano has, because Tennessee's coaches have continued to, I think, behind the scenes, say we have to count on Jarrett to help us win football games, and over the last few weeks he has done that.
Now, I mean, considering where UT is at right now, I think at the beginning of all of this, you know, Pruitt was getting, you know, drugged through the mud, so to speak, and that team was, rightfully so, and the fans couldn't see the forest through the trees. Do you think now, because of what's going on, how this team is playing, how they are looking on the field, that it's becoming more clearer to the fans, to the alumni, that this might be the right coach for the right job at this particular time?
The conversation has definitely swung back in a more positive direction for Jeremy Pruitt over the last month or so, and wins against Mississippi State and South Carolina helped. Even the Georgia and Alabama games, fans came out feeling a lot better about Tennessee's head coach, especially the Bama game. Mm-hmm. So now that Tennessee is heading into this final stretch, it's kind of similar to last year in that Tennessee got that win against Kentucky. And in the final two games, I think fans had an expectation almost of 7-5, and they're going to have a huge finish. And Tennessee needs 3 wins to get there. But the conversation is not much different, I think, than it was a year ago. Even Daniel Batuli said after the win against South Carolina that the players have to focus on making sure that last year doesn't happen, because right now the answer is yes. It's a much more positive conversation about Jeremy Pruitt and fans getting excited about what this staff is doing. But just like it changed very quickly for him in a positive direction, if Tennessee were to lose this week in Kentucky, that conversation changes as well. So how these next few weeks go are really important. And if Tennessee goes 2-1 in this final stretch but gets to a bowl game, considering the conversation after 2 weeks and after the month of September, it still would be in a much better spot. But that's the obvious goal. Tennessee needs to win two of the next three here.
But does one of those wins need to be against Vanderbilt? Because if they win two and then lose to Vandy, do you think that then leaves a, even though they're going to a bowl game, that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, would be my answer. If Tennessee wins the next two and then comes back home and closes out with a loss to Vandy, that'd be four straight, that'd be six out of eight. Yeah, that would sit very poorly with Tennessee's fan base, and I would not recommend Jeremy Pruitt do that. So, yeah, I would say of these next three, like, you don't want to lose to Kentucky. That's never good, and you know, Missouri's really had their number. So that's the one that I think fans would accept, if that's the right word. There is no scenario here where a loss to Vanderbilt, again, would be accepted by Tennessee's fans.
Josh, we know Kentucky's quarterback situation. How does Derek Ansley and Jeremy Pruitt go about scheming and game planning against a player like that?
Yeah, I think Jeremy Pruitt's plan is contain, and you know, making sure assignments are right. And you know, a lot of this is with the assumption, of course, that Bowden's in that position. But their ability to run with him and those backs, I think Tennessee should be okay there. That's why offensively Tennessee needs to make sure that it takes care of the football. It needs sustained drives. It needs to be able to put up enough points, because I think Jeremy Pruitt's confident that if Kentucky's one-dimensional, he'll be fine. And that if his defense just has to hold Kentucky, you know, in the 10 to 17 point range, he's confident that his defense can do that, and then you just get enough points from your offense. If the offense struggles, if the offense turns the ball over and sets up Bowden to maybe help Kentucky get an easy score, just think about last year's game. Tennessee hits a touchdown at the end of the first half to Marquez Callaway. It's 17-0, and that's all she wrote, because they were going to come back throwing the football. And I think Jeremy Pruitt would have a similar level of confidence in this game. Bowden has been really good, and should have better weather than they've had to deal with the last couple of weeks. So, Kentucky will probably go out there feeling good, feeling fresh. Tennessee is at the end of six straight weeks, and sometimes I think we can make a little bit too much of scheduling, but I think Jeremy Pruitt has looked at that as a big deal this week, and he is, I wouldn't say worried, he has worked extra hard this week to make sure that his players realize this is a tougher game than maybe they might think, or fans might think, heading into Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a good thing T. Martin can remind them about what happened in 2011 with Matt Roark. T. Martin was on the Kentucky coaching staff, of course, when the wide receiver won the game for Kentucky back then. Josh, how much does this mean for both coaches in general, broad picture? Kentucky fighting for a bowl game, Tennessee fighting for a bowl game, both, you know, Kentucky and Stoops obviously far more entrenched in his job, but there's rumors linking him, along with Deion Sanders, by the way, which is weird, to Florida State. Just sort of, what does this game mean, sort of big picture? A revenge on the mind for Kentucky from last year? Just give us a sense of what this game means, in your opinion, big picture, for both coaches.
Well, for Kentucky, I think it really legitimizes the growth of that program, which I don't really question, but some people might do, because it's Kentucky. You beat Tennessee this weekend. You're going to a bowl game for sure, and then we'll see how many wins they can finish with. I mean, could they get to 8, 7, or 8 becomes a possibility. Louisville game's always huge for them. But, for Kentucky, I think it just would help legitimize what that program has become the last few years, because it has illegitimate players and legitimate depth. For Tennessee, if it wants to make the case that it is really making progress, it needs to win these kinds of games, and it's done that in the last few weeks. You need to beat teams like Mississippi State at home. You need to beat South Carolina, and Tennessee did that. But if it turns around and loses to Kentucky, that halts the progress, doesn't make anything easier on the recruiting trail. And from a national standpoint, I think people would just check in, see the Tennessee loss, and then move along with the conversation to other programs. And that's what Tennessee wants to stop happening. And you're probably right. I think T. Martin does speak to the team this week, because last year, Terry Fair, who was on the staff, and I think it was Montario Hardesty, who was working with Tennessee a year ago, they spoke to the team and said, we do not lose to Kentucky. And T. Martin, he has the ability to talk on both sides. When I was at Tennessee, we didn't lose to them. When I was at Kentucky, we made it happen. Don't let it happen this week. So I'm sure that's being brought up to the players. If you want to be taken seriously and you want to be considered an elite program, you have to win these kinds of games, and then we take the next step.
Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. Always a pleasure, Josh. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Vols and the Cats coming up Saturday from Kroger Field.
Josh about to have his second child coming up like on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. So congratulations, Josh Ward. Joining us like 2 days out from doubling up as a father.
Stressful days.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So,
you know, you lose the basketball team on Saturday. You have a kid on the way. You know, I think it's tough. I think it's tough when you're a Vols fan and you lose to Kentucky in football. Tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to troll here. I'm just saying, you know.
No, they don't handle it well.
Can't take it well.
Nor should they, as he just said. Those players take it personally.
Yep.
So.
All right, big 7 o'clock hour coming up. Bama-LSU at the top. We'll get to the Titans and the Chiefs as well. Teron Davenport's going to join us. We'll wrap up our Vols-Kentucky conversation when we come back. And if Vols fans want to jump in, 615-737-1025 is the number. Back after this on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise as we're getting ready for the Vols and the Cats. Saturday, Kroger Field in Lexington. Does the loser make a bowl game? If Tennessee wins, is it officially a season of progress? I think this is really, you're right, Braden. It's a swing game. It's a pivotal game for both programs on many different levels. And if I'm Kentucky, you know, you look back to last year, dream season, 10 wins, and Tennessee, to some extent, kind of spoiled that. I think the Vols are going to get Kentucky's best shot Saturday night.
I totally agree, even if it's a wide receiver playing quarterback. But they go to Vanderbilt. They come here next week, and then they have Tennessee Martin and Louisville at home. So at 4-4, even if you lose this game, you still could get two of those last three, in theory, Tennessee Martin and Vanderbilt. Louisville is a much improved football team, and that's a really great rivalry. I've been to one of those games. It's a very underrated game to go to. But it's sort of a program defining moment, as Josh said there about Kentucky, if they win, where it's not their best team, it's not their best roster, they don't have their starting quarterback, and they yet somehow still figure out a way to beat Tennessee. That's something that doesn't normally happen in college football. That's a pretty big statement on, you know, what Mark Stoops has done to sort of build the program, as Josh said. And I agree with him. He doesn't need any more evidence, but I think he's done a great job. And then on the other side, it's just obvious how much this means to Pruitt in Tennessee. If you can get to a bowl game, or even better, 7-5, you know, end the losing to Vanderbilt, you can point to your alumni, to your recruits, to everybody in the offseason, and you can say, look, those first two games were garbage. That's not who we are. Mm-hmm. Look who we were at the end of the year. We went 4-4 in the SEC, or whatever it's going to be. And you can say we were one of the, you know, we were a middle of the pack to top half team in the SEC. We beat the teams we were supposed to beat. Now it's time for us to start competing with the big boys. And that's your sales pitch in the offseason.
Right.
If you lose to Kentucky, you can't say any of that. Because then you're looking up at Kentucky, you know, in the division. If you lose to Missouri, you're still looking up at Missouri. It's about where are you in the East, and you got to make progress.
Josh Ward really, I think, nailed it and got me so excited when he talked about the Tennessee quarterback prop bet. Vegas might need to up it from 3 to 3.5. How do we think the quarterback situation will play out just within tomorrow's game specifically? I mean, it feels like Jarrett Garantano has kind of re-earned a little bit of trust from Pruitt.
I really struggle with this because Brian Maurer is the starter. Like when he took over and they put him in, it signaled to me, all right, let's find out what you've got in the young freshman who you think is really talented. Let's find out what he is. And he's the starting quarterback. Only because he had two nasty concussions did Jarrett Garantano come back in the game. And to have Jarrett Garantano sitting on the bench is a pretty nice asset. That's a pretty nice commodity to have. Because he's got tons of experience. He's not a great player, but like he's a really, like, to have him as a backup is a lot better than anything Vanderbilt's doing or Missouri or any, you know, even Kentucky, for that matter, having to play a wide receiver. So, but I also see a road environment in a pick 'em game against a fairly well-coached defensive team. You're going to need some level of experience and smarts and wisdom to beat that team. And so I see Garantano and or Jarantano, we should say. I see both of them playing.
And don't worry, Kelly Stauffer is not on the call. It'll be Tom Hart and I forget
Jordan,
the analyst.
Jordan Rogers, Tom Hart, and Cole Kubelik. Okay. That's one of the most fun broadcast
teams.
It's a good
teams. Crew.
That would be a fun team to travel with if you follow my drift. They'd like to have a good time. I want to see both of them. I think you're going to see both of them. And then, of course, Juwan Jennings, you know, maybe back there doing some trick stuff. So.
But, Mace, you've been very adamant about the conservativeness with Maurer about not putting him back out there.
I just don't – I mean, as a guy that, you know, understands somewhat the effects of this, you know, long-term on an individual's body, seeing it, you know, guys go through certain things. because of head trauma, especially him being in college and him having three more years left. And as a parent, I don't know as if I was his parent, I don't know if I would want my kid back out there this year, because he's had two already. And once you've had one, you're more susceptible to another. He's had two, and they were back to back, really.
And you feel comfortable with the with
Garantano. I just wouldn't put him back out there. I would explain to, I would explain to his parents that, listen, we want him to be our guy. He's our guy. He's proven that he can play. But we got guys behind him that, you know, Garantano, that we feel comfortable with. You know, if we need, you know, Mara to play, then we'll play him. But we don't need him to play him. I'm just thinking about your son's health moving forward. Because I guarantee you, if he has another concussion, that's the question that's going to come up. Why did you put him back out there and he's already had two concussions? Because you didn't have to put him out there.
Coaching malpractice
exactly.
At that point.
You didn't have to put him out there because Garantano looks good. He's healthy. You didn't have to put him out there. So I'm not putting the kid out there unless I just have to.
It's a good argument, man.
But, I mean, he knows his team better than I will ever know his team. And, you know, I still think they have a great chance at winning with Garantano, because beside that one debacle he had, and I've said this before, he's been playing good. He's been okay.
And even in that game, he was
okay, except
for the one play.
So I wouldn't put him back. I wouldn't put the young man back out there. Not this season, at least.
I can get behind that.
Speaking of uncertainty at quarterback, Vanderbilt will go to the Swamp, an 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow. Neither Mo Hassan or Riley Neal expected to face the Gators, which means it's Deuce Wallace, and you might even see redshirt freshman Alan Walters, who's yet to play in a game this year. You guys know I believe in the letdown factor. A lot of times in college football, team gets a big rivalry game, they lose, they come out flat the next week, maybe like Notre Dame did against Virginia Tech. Florida lost to Georgia last week. I don't see that being the case. I don't know how the heck Vanderbilt's going to put up any offense in the Swamp tomorrow against Florida. I think that could be ugly.
Yeah, 3, 7, 10 points at the most. It's hard to see where they're going to make plays.
I would be surprised. I would be pleasantly surprised if Vandy is able to put up some points and make it a game. But like you guys said, I don't see how it's going to be. I think it's going to be ugly. I mean, really ugly.
Think about all the perimeter players that Florida has, you know, including Pitts, the tight end, who's a complete matchup nightmare. This feels like 41-7.
Yeah, because if you look at the SEC and you start looking at skilled guys, we know Bama's won with their trio of receivers, and then LSU. You can argue that Florida is third with their trio of receivers.
Yo, you could argue that they're just as good.
Yeah, exactly, and they're tight end.
Jefferson, Pitts, they got dudes, man.
I don't see how Vandy stopped them. I just don't.
I don't know. I think we've already talked too much about this. Florida is going to win by a million.
I feel bad for Derek Mason, man. It's like, what defense did you employ to stop that team? Because your guys hadn't shown that they can go out there and stop a team consistently.
All right, Teron Davenport's coming up at 7:30. We'll get ready for Chiefs and Titans. Also, we'll do a good bit coming up in the first half of the 7 o'clock hour on Bama LSU, because there's actually five things that could be decided tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Five things. This is really interesting.
A couple of them you're maybe not thinking about, because we all know what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Huge game, 2 versus 3. We know the championship stakes, but there might be more than that on the line.
Just one quick thought before we do get to a real deep dive on Bama LSU. Thought about this yesterday. What would LSU be like today if Les Miles just would have done what Ed Orgeron has done 5 years ago? Like, if you just would have evolved and came to the times.
Well, Les Miles would have still been there. He would have still been in LSU.
Yeah, probably.
He would have got a raise, too.
But, yeah. But honestly, like, how difficult was it? Like, hire an offensive coordinator who knows it's 2015 and, you know, maybe look like a modern offense?
And he's not even technically their offensive coordinator. Did you guys –
he's like the offensive –
He's the passing game coordinator or whatever. One of those other bizarre titles. But basically, he's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny is his background, his backstory. He got interviewed this week, I think, by Bruce Feldman. I believe he's with The Athletic now, but longtime college football guy. He had never done an interview his entire career. He'd never been interviewed. He was a wide receiver at like William and Mary, and then has been just sort of like a
in the background
in the background of NFL and college teams. Like, he's never really had a high level coaching position. He was sort of just he wasn't really the OC for the Saints. He was sort of just a guy on the staff. Like, he literally had never been interviewed. I listened to it, and he's like, yeah, no one's ever asked me any questions about anything. I was like, oh, my God. In a modern world where we tell a million stories a day about everything, how is it that Joe Brady – and think about this. Think about this, honestly, to get into the LSU-Bama conversation coming up next break. Is there a more important human being in college football than Joe Brady?
No.
Nope.
You could argue he is the most important dude in the entire sport.
He took LSU out of the Stone Age.
He probably changed the program or saved the program from falling in, you know, the abyss.
I mean, Joe Burrow,
by their standards.
From an offensive standpoint, like, what I'm saying.
And I get it. Lincoln Riley, the way he's coaching, and you look at, you know, Trevor Lawrence is so important. Like, there's so many important, unbelievable players. I just think it's, like, we all agree that LSU's not where they are today without Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't go to the Saints and bring this guy in to fix the passing game, there probably is no way we're talking about two versus three with a Joe Burrow Heisman candidacy.
If they're still playing old school LSU ground and pound ball, they're an 8-4 program.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, 9, 8, 9, 10 wins, whatever. Yeah. They're just not championship level.
Right, right.
And so we look at, I don't know, it's funny to think about the impact of this one guy that no one's heard his voice.
Nope.
He's never done an interview. No one's ever heard of who he is or what he's all about. And he might be the most important dude in college football.
Does he sound like Ed Orgeron now?
No. But he's got a lot of Louisiana ties. But he doesn't sound like that.
He's got a squeaky voice, but sound like Ed Orgeron.
Kind of like Matt LaFleur.
What the hell was that?
All right, Bama LSU coming up next. Five things that could be decided tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. That is next, the big game on a morning drive.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.